Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
A popular children's book tells how two dishonest men trick the king of an empire into doing something foolish. Like King Nebuchadnezzar, this king was a proud man who could be flattered into doing a very silly thing. The dishonest men pretended that only wise people could see the expensive and beautiful cloth that they were weaving and sewing into royal garments. When the king and people of the court couldn't see any cloth at all, for there really wasn't any, they all pretended that they could. They wanted to look wise. More and more people were drawn into the deception until the ruler decided to showcase some of the new royal garments. When the king sat on his horse in a big parade, he was only wearing his underwear. When one small boy saw this, he called out loudly that the king wasn't dressed. Everybody around him heard, including the king. The boy's quick honesty taught everyone a lesson. Pride leads to a downfall, either sooner or later. The king foolishly had become a public laughingstock in front of his own people. In the same way, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to be thought of as a very important person to all his people. Daniel gave King Nebuchadnezzar the explanation of his dream about a statue, but Daniel insisted that Babylon in time would be taken over by another kingdom. King Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to hear this. Instead, he wanted to impress his people that it was he and his kingdom which were the greatest. King Nebuchadnezzar's desire to impress others had grown from a hardness of heart, which had an arrogant disregard for God and sin. Selfish pride can destroy relationships faster than almost anything else because it uses others to strengthen the proud person's viewpoint. Nebuchadnezzar caused much trouble and inconvenience for the leaders of different nations by requiring them to travel long distances for his statue dedication on an appointed day. Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel governor of Babylon after Daniel interpreted the meaning of his dream. As governor, Daniel asked the king to make three of his Hebrew friends rulers over the affairs of the province of Babylon while he would remain in the king's court. The king granted his request, and these events are recorded in the second chapter of the book of Daniel. When all the leaders of Babylon were summoned to the plain of Dura to worship the golden image Nebuchadnezzar had set up there, Daniel's three friends were included. The golden image was 90 foot tall and 9 foot wide. This imposing statue was to represent the king as a new god for the people to worship. In today's drama, Daniel's three Hebrew friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, challenged the authority of the king by not bowing down to his golden statue. When the king heard that the men wouldn't bow down in front of all the people, the king was very displeased. Standing up for what is right can be risky. A person has to trust God for everything at a time when he or she may be making many enemies. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego failed to worship the golden image, the other jealous court advisers went straight to the king and told him so. They wanted to see the Hebrew men killed for their disobedience, so they could become their replacements instead.
The golden image at Dura is about finished, Your Majesty.
So I hear.
The appointed day came, and a vast concourse from all nations, people, languages assembled on the plain of Dura.
Every man of any importance from all over the earth is here to worship my image. I am great. I am invincible. I am all-powerful. I am God. Oh, scribe, is all in readiness?
All is ready, Your Majesty.
The furnace?
It burns furiously, Your Majesty. Ready to receive and consume anyone who dares refuse to bow down and worship thy image.
No one has the courage to refuse to obey my command. Start the ceremony. Wonderful. All the important people of the world bowing to my image, paying me homage. I truly am God.
I beg His Majesty's permission to speak.
Permission granted.
Live forever, great and mighty King and God of all Babylon.
Bow thyself to the ground and have done with your speech.
O king, there are those who bowed not at the blowing of the trumpets.
Someone actually refuses to obey my commands?
For the truth, your majesty, 3 captive slaves from Jerusalem.
Captain, seize the 3 men who refuse to bow down and worship my image. Cast them into the fiery furnace. No, bring them hither to me. I would look upon those who dare disobey me.
3 of the things most sought after in this life are power, fame, and fortune. King Nebuchadnezzar already had these 3, but in his pride the king wanted something that he couldn't have. If the jealous court advisers had been truly wise, they could have easily proved to the king that he wasn't a powerful god, but rather a very powerful human being. There are many things in life to prove that people, no matter what their position, are very limited in what they have control over, as given by our Creator God. Take, for example, the small matter of opening a locked door. Without the right key or damaging the door, doing this is impossible. Yet the piece of metal holding it fast is small and only has to travel a very short distance to allow us through. Everyone who has ever lost a set of keys has had this frustrating experience. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted total obedience from all the conquered people that he ruled. Even though there were only 3 dissenters out of thousands, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prevented the king from gloating about his dominion over the world. If 3 young men challenged his authority, how long would it be before others joined such a mutiny? The king's pride quickly turned to anger, as anger is often a reaction to pride that's hurt. What he thought would be a moment of triumph turned into a scene of chaos for Nebuchadnezzar in his rage, as his soldiers dragged the 3 rebels through the crowd to shove them down at the king's feet. When there's a conflict between right and wrong, what are Christians to do? These 3 young Hebrews had made a decision when they first arrived in Babylon that they wouldn't compromise their trust in God or do anything to displease him. This meant that they were laying down their lives and expected a premature death. None of their past good work for the king gave them much favor. The king did offer them a second chance to bow down to the statue, but he warned them that if they didn't, then they were headed straight for the fiery furnace. At this point, the king added the challenge that no god at all could save them from this death. Throughout history, many faithful Christians have been asked to worship a false god and refused. They were all killed. They took comfort in the scripture verses in the book of Revelation chapter 2, where the Lord Jesus said, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." To this day in some countries, as soon as a person is found out to be a Christian, they are killed. To care for their families, Christians in other parts of the world send help in different ways to comfort them. When is it right for Christians to challenge the demands of rulers and government agencies? The first situation is when a Christian is asked to deny the Lord. The second time is when asked to do ungodly things. The scriptures are the Christian standard to follow. When a person's conscience is troubled about a ruler's demands, it's time for a prayer meeting. God may provide a way of escape, but he may also require the Christian to witness publicly about his or her faith and then trust in the Lord for the outcome. A man famous for his many answered prayers was asked the secret of his victorious Christian life. He said, "There came a day when he died, utterly died. No longer did his personal desires, preferences, and tastes come first. He knew that from then on, Christ must be all in all, in everything he did." Have you reached that point in your life where you can say that you've died to your own ambitions, choices, and self? A deliberate daily act of self-surrender to the Lord Jesus is needed. Any half-given self is unacceptable to him. Say to yourself, "No half measures for me."
The Son of the Father. from God the Father, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you. From God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is